lesson. It's not been boring at all. It's been exciting. And so tonight, we're going to take up where we left off here just for a little bit. Study the Bible. So when I tell you, look down at a verse, look at it, and just get your head into it here for a few minutes, and your heart into it. And God will speak to your heart through His Word. One thing that amazes me about the Bible is that a lot of times the preacher's up preaching the Bible, and it ain't even something he says, and the Lord will deal with you about something in your life. It's amazing. And sometimes it ain't the preacher at all. It's just the Spirit working through the Word. So tonight, let's look here at chapter 3. And we'll look here, let's see, where do we get? Down about verse 7, somewhere along in there? Did we get to 9, did we? 5, that's as far as we got. Lord have mercy. Yeah, we got hung up on that dancing in verse 4. That's what we did. Well, I got thinking about that after last week, and I think you got to watch out about that wrong interpretation of that dancing, and you'll be making excuses to do the wrong kind of dancing, and that ain't right. I mean, you know, but anyway, we talked about verse 5 about casting away stones, a time to gather stones together, like building walls, time to tear them down, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. And that goes with somebody going off to the war. There's a time to be huggy-huggy with somebody, and there's a time to be standoffish with people. Of course, you know, there's a lot you could say about that. A time to get and a time to lose. Look at verse 6. And I'm hurrying because we've got a lot to get to tonight. A time to get and a time to lose. And you understand that. Life is like that. The old saying is, you can't win them all. The old saying is, you win some, you lose some. Everybody was talking about that Super Bowl the other night, and I did watch the last part of it when I was at home making radio tapes Sunday night, and only time I like football is when it's all on the line like that, and that was exciting. That was pretty good. I don't even like football, and that was exciting. And you know what I was sitting there thinking? I was sitting there thinking that one old boy, old Tom Brady, won 3 Super Bowls, and he was just sort of acting like he's real hot snot and everything, and that Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. I said, the Lord's going to let him fall. And that's exactly what happened. They thought they had it in the bag, highly favored. And I don't know who you was for. It don't matter to me. But, you know, I like to pull for the underdog, you know. Man, I'm telling you, that last play, they tried to get that quarterback, and they was jerking on his shirt and everything. And he wiggled loose, which was a miracle. That was the Lord doing that. And then he slung it down the field, and this guy caught it on his head, on his helmet, and fell down with a football on his head. And that Lord must have wanted that to happen. All that defender had to do is knock that ball off his head, and the game would have went the other way, but God blinded him. I don't know if the Lord has anything to do with ball games or not, but it sure does seem like sometimes things just go your way, and sometimes they don't. But that's another study, but he probably don't care who wins the ball game, but he does care about all them wicked bets and all that stuff. He cares about that. But anyway, time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and time to cast away. Sometimes that's the way with your money and anything. Sometimes it's time to keep it. Sometimes it's time to give it. God is showing you that life ain't always the same. As you grow older, you'll learn that some things are different. They don't all ever stay the same. Look at verse 7, a time to rend. That's tear something. Time to tear it up and time to sew it back together. There's a time when you rip a garment, and then there's a time to sew a garment. I don't know nothing about sewing, but I guess sometimes you got to cut something up before you can sew it right or something. I don't know. But there's times like that. Now look at verse 7, the bottom part. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Boy, we could all learn from that verse. Sometimes it's better to just keep your mouth shut. Most of the time, it's better to keep your mouth shut. 9 times out of 10, we'd be better off to keep our mouth shut. There is a time to speak up. Christians are funny. You know, Christians don't speak up when they should speak up. The Lord gives you an opportunity to witness. That's the time to speak up. When somebody's gossiping at work, that's the time to shut your mouth. Normally, we do it the other way around. There's some good juicy gossip. Boy, we want to get in on it. And if it's time to witness, well, I don't feel led, you know. You don't feel led to gossip, you go ahead and do that. I've heard people say, well, I'd go on visitation, but I don't feel led. You don't care if you feel led about anything else. You don't feel led to eat 4 times a day, and you do that. You don't feel led to do a lot of things. And you quit worrying about being led, using that for an excuse. But there's a time to shut up, and there's a time to speak. Now, right off the bat, can anybody give me a Bible example of that verse? There's a time to keep your mouth shut. There's a time to speak up. Either one of them. Anybody give me a Bible example? You use your brain now. Somebody in the Bible that spoke when they shouldn't have or didn't when they should have. Anybody got one? That's a good one right there. That's a good one. Old Peter, he had a habit of opening his mouth and when he should have just shut up, and it got him into some trouble. Anybody else got one? The other way around? What about there when Jesus was dying on the cross? A lot of them guys could have spoke up for him right then, and they just forsook him and fled. That would have been a great time to speak up. That would have been a great time to say, I belong to him. Stand beside the... There's a time to speak. There's a time to keep silence. Amen. Did you know, people won't know how dumb you are if you just keep quiet. The Bible said even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. You in a crowd of people and somebody just sits there, you think, boy, they're pretty smart. If you start talking, you can show your dumbness, ignorance real quick. Remember that thing they had on Miss South Carolina? They showed it over and over on the news. I forgot what they asked her about. Why couldn't some people find something on the map? What was it? They asked her a question. You know how they asked Miss South Carolina? They asked them a question. Why do you think so many people can't find Iraq on the map or something like that? I don't know. And she was a dumb blonde, a real one. And she said something like, we know that there's not a lot of education in this country, and some people don't have maps. And, you know, she made a fool out of her. They laughed at her and laughed at her and laughed at her. She'd have been better off just to say, I don't have a clue, you know, or something. You'd be better off sometimes just say you don't know than to try to act like you know when you don't. I think it was, wasn't it Bill Clinton here a few years ago said his favorite book in the New Testament was Job? Or was it Al Gore that said that? Favorite book in the New Testament was Job. He'd have been better off just to shut up. You know, people know you're dumb anyway. Then when you say it, they know you're really dumb. So sometimes if you don't know what you're talking about, just hush. I've opened my mouth a lot of times, had no idea in the world what I was saying. So that's what that verse is talking about. Well, verse 8, time to love and a time to hate. Now you understand the context, you know. There is a time to love. There's a time to hate. You're not supposed to hate nobody. There's some things you're supposed to hate. We in this country, we love things. We love things and hate people or like people. The old people used to say you're supposed to love people and like things. You love people and like things. But we got to where we love things and just like or hate people. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Well, that's the way it's always going to be. There's never going to be peace on this earth. Only been 200 and something years of recorded peace on this earth since Cain and Abel got in that big fight. And that, brother, I'm telling you, that's not much time, 6,000 years, only 200. Somebody said that peace is that little space in between wars when we're reloading our guns. And that's all it is. There'll never be no peace on this earth till the Prince of Peace comes. There's a time of war and there's a time of peace. Verse 9. For what profit hath he worketh that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Now look at verse 11. Here's another old rock song from back in the 60s. Everything is beautiful in its own way. You know that old song? Dun, 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 dun. How many of you remember that old song? B.J. Thomas or somebody, I don't know who it was. And they used to play it all the time. Everything is beautiful. Now, what's he done? Wonder how come they wouldn't take a verse like, you'll reap what you sow and make a song out of it. Or, every one of us give an account to God. They'll pull one out and say, everything is beautiful. That say, oh, yeah, smoking pot's beautiful. Oh, yeah, shacking up's beautiful. Oh, yeah. When God said everything is beautiful, he said, everything is beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, things is beautiful. The world's beautiful. One of the things a lot of people can't understand is why God made the world beautiful and told us not to love it. That's something, isn't it? I mean, why did He make the world out here where we can see it, and heaven's up there where we can't even see it? And He says, you're supposed to love that and hate that. That's hard for us to do. The only way you can do that is be right with God. The only way you can do that is be born again. The world is a beautiful place, some of it. And, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's some pretty places in this world. Well, you see the sunset going down there in that, and in California, the sun goes down in the ocean on the evenings, and it just sinks into the water. And in Florida, you know, on this side, on that side of Florida, and North Carolina, it comes up out of the water. Beautiful sunrise, sunset. There's some pretty places in this world, even though it's under a curse and under sin. You wait till we get that new one, buddy, that new earth. It's really going to be beautiful. Look at verse number 12. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. I guess what he's saying is, ain't what good's the Grand Canyon doing being pretty, except for us to just look at it and enjoy it? I don't know. It ain't doing no good. Sunset, moon, rise, moonset, all that stuff, full moon, half moon, fingernail moon, all them different kinds of moons. What's the point in all that? Just so that a man would rejoice and do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Let's think about that for a minute. Do you know it is the gift of God for you to eat and drink and enjoy your labor? Now, I don't know how many of you got a job, your job, that you like. And when I say like, I mean, no, you don't like, nobody likes work. I mean, you know, all the time. I guess sometimes you enjoy working. But most of the time, they don't. That's why they call it work. You know, if it was all fun, it wouldn't be called work. But what I'm saying is, I feel sorry for people that got a job that they absolutely hate. I feel sorry for you. It takes all kinds of people to make the world. But I used to go in these plants, and I'd see these women, and you might have a job like this. I admire you if you do. But some of these women, they sit in these factories and sit there at a little desk, and all they do all day long is fold pieces of cloth like a sweater. 8 hours a day. Now, you might, I'm telling you, they'd put me in Broughton if I had to do that 8 hours a day. I'm just not cut out for something like that. Some of you ladies might be able to do that. I mean, for years and years and years. I don't know. If you hate your job, if you absolutely hate your job, you need to pray the Lord give you another job. I'd rather have a job that I enjoyed a little bit and made less money than a job that I absolutely could not stand. Have any of y'all ever had a job that you absolutely, I mean, every day you hated going in, you hated the boss, you hated the work? Anybody ever had one like that? You wouldn't work in a pie factory. Of course you, where you work at, Jeff? Hardee's. That ain't that bad. You get to meet people and see people. If for hate, you can spit on their hamburgers and everything. That's what they do, y'all. That's what they do. You better not get smart. You say, well, I'll just tell that woman at the drive-thru. Yeah, you'll get spit on your hamburger, too. You better be nice to them. Anybody else got a job you hate or had one you hate? Nobody else has ever had a job you hated? Wow. One you got now or had one? What is it? Oh, the KFC? You might make a career out of that. No. Well, have you ever had a job where you absolutely dreaded it, day in, day out? That's not good. I know work. Nobody likes to get up every morning, you know, alarm clock and all that. But I'm saying you ought to get some kind of satisfaction out of your work. Now, my job is, it's a tough job. If it wasn't, you'd see a lot more people doing, trying it. I meet people every once in a while and they say, oh, you got it made. You preach one day a week. I said, well, if it's so easy, start you a church and you do it. You do it. It ain't easy as it looks. This is a fun part of my job. I enjoy doing what I'm doing tonight. I'm not a good teacher, but I enjoy. But there's parts of it, boy, where I'm telling you, when you get phone calls in the middle of the night and you're drug in the middle of a family fight, And if you, no matter what you say, both of them's going to wind up getting mad at you and turning on you, and everybody quitting the church, and that part will drive you up a wall. what we had Sunday morning, that little scuffle with these bus kids, I feel that's all on my shoulders. That I carry that home with me. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. Dear God, please don't let that knock people out. Please don't. That's the part of my job I don't like, dealing with issues and all this financial burden I have on the new building and everything. That's all on my shoulders. If that don't work, it's my fault. I'm going to be the one that gets the blame for it. And that's not fun. But I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy my job. I get a lot of blessing. I get a lot of joy overseeing the good things of the ministry. And the Bible said if you can do that, if you can eat and drink and enjoy your work, it is the gift of God. God has given you something. That's just like eternal life. You know, the Bible said the gift of God's eternal life. God give you the gift of eternal life. Well, let me tell you about another gift. If you enjoy your work and you can eat and drink. If you can eat and drink, you can sit down. I sat down there at Steakhouse at 105 yesterday, the day before. I believe it was the day before. I was going down to the church, and hadn't eaten anything all day hardly except a peanut butter cracker, and it was about 3 o'clock. And I went in there and sat down at Steakhouse, man, and they had that pork barbecue with it, you know, and they had chicken, and I enjoyed that. And I drank a glass of water or two and enjoyed that. If I can drink water and eat food and enjoy that and enjoy my work, that's a gift that God's given me. Hey, you'd be surprised people can't do that. You'd be surprised people has weird stuff in their stomach and diseases and everything. They can't even eat. They throw it back up. They're anorexic. They're bulimic or whatever that other thing is. But I might have some stuff wrong with me, but I ain't anorexic, brother. I enjoy food, don't you? We had girls out to camp a long time ago, a little skinny girl, and she said, every time I think about eating food, it makes me sick. And I said, you're crazy. I said, come on, now you know you want some pizza. No, I can't. I'm sick. And they finally made a believer out of me. I don't know how a person can get like that. But they think they're fat. They're real skinny, and they think, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. After a while, I'd think, I don't care if I am or not. I want some pizza. Wouldn't you? I mean, I enjoy eating. I enjoy a good meal. I enjoy drinking. I enjoy my work. Well, that's better than last week. We was dancing. But anybody want to say something about that? Can anybody tell me something? You enjoy your work? Brother Andy, he likes to shoot people. Do you really? Amen. He gets to do something he enjoys and gets paid for it. And there's parts of it you don't like, I'm sure. You know, when you have to go haul Kevin in, lock him up. Is it really? They fight you? You tased them? Cool. I want me one of them tasers. I heard they're selling to anybody nowadays. I want a video of that. Y'all like to see how Andy's stuffing a woman in the back of a police car. Brother Brandon? Yep. That's exactly right. You lay around on the couch all day long, you will not, you just eat. That the bad thing about doing nothing is you can't stop and take a break. Do you know that? But if you work all day, there is, man, I remember, you know, we come in real tired and everything and sit down to a big supper and it tastes better and you sleep better. The Bible said a sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Well, you work all day, you'll sleep at night. Oh, Ed McAfee said, that's right, you'll stay out of trouble too. Ed McAfee said, he said when he was growing up, he said they lived up there in Spruce Pine, and he said his daddy, they'd get up on the bed on Saturday morning, and he said them at the crack of dawn, brother, they was in the garden. I mean, when the sun come up, they was hoeing in the garden and planting beans and pulling weeds and doing everything until dark, like 9 o'clock at night. He said they'd come in and just do like this on the couch. He'd come in and say, boys, there's the car keys. You just want to go to town. They didn't want to go nowhere. They want to take a bath and go to bed. And that's good for you. That's what's wrong with kids nowadays. They ain't got nothing to do. Anybody else right quick? It is the gift of God. Amen, brother.
That's right. That's right. Amen, brother. I believe you. I appreciate Brother Ray being out being a witness for the Lord, don't y'all? Amen. We know you're bragging. Really? She's an unusual woman. Most women complain about the job all the time. Anybody else? If you hate your job, get you one. I mean, you ain't going to like everything. I mean, I like my job, but you would hate part of my job. I'm telling you, there's parts of my job you would pull your hair out. And you just got to take the bad with the good. Overall, I enjoy it. A lot of people say, I'd love to be a pastor. I've heard a lot of young men say, I'd love to be a pastor. And all they think it is getting up here and getting all the attention and people taking up love offerings and wow, pat you on the back. You just see 2 hours a week. You don't see the awful stuff. Anybody else, right quick? It's a gift of God if you get to do that. Let's hurry here. Got to hurry. I know that. Verse 14. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That's a great verse. Nothing can be put to it, anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear Him. That means when God does something, you can't stop it. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you can't change it. When God drowned out the old world, if He's going to do it, He's going to do it. And verse 15, that which hath been, we've done studied this, is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. That's a scary verse. God requires that which is past. You know, people who believe they can work their way to heaven, they think they can live good enough for God to take them to heaven when they die. But let's just say you was 30 years old. Let's say you was 30 years old and you'd been wicked all your life and you got straightened out. You said, I am never going to sin again. Never. I'm not going to tell a lie. I'm going to do exactly right. I'm going to trust... I'm not going to do anything wicked. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to cuss. And you never committed one sin from the time you was 30 to the time you was 80, and then you died. Where would you go? Hell. You go to hell. Because God requires that which is past. All them 30 years of sins, He requires that. Who's going to pay for that? If you quit sinning and never sin again, which you can't, but if you did, you still wouldn't go to heaven. Because you've done had 30 years of sin. And the only way you can get to that is the blood of Jesus. Verse 16, and moreover I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. It's everywhere. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Now he said this over and over and over in our study. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, now look at this, he's back under the sun now, that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Now here he says that a man ain't no different from an animal. Man's no different from an animal. And in many ways, that is very true. A man's no different from an animal in many, many ways. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, verse 19, even one thing befalleth them, that's die. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all his vanity. Now, let's think about this for a minute. The only difference between you and a dog, if a dog gets run over out there in the road, somebody will pick it up and drag it off out here and bury it. If you get run over out there in the road, somebody will pick you up and they'll put you in a box and bury you. That's the only difference. No difference between you and an animal. Unless you're saved. We all die. We die just like a horse dies, just like a cow dies, just like a bird dies. We all die. That's a degrading thought. We think, boy, we're really something special. But now, you know what? If a man's not saved, really his life really ain't much different than an animal's. And old Darwin had it right. He's just a highly evolved animal. He's not evolved, but you know, if there's no God, if there's no heaven, if there's no hell, we're just like animals. There's three things that all animals have. Number one, animals have self-gratification. Number two, self-propagation. And number three, self-preservation. Now, what does that mean? Self-gratification. Every animal, its instinct, now self, you want food every day. You want, if it's hot, you want to cool off. If it's cold, you want to get warm. Animals, a dog will go in the dog house to get out of the... It's in a dog to want to be comfortable to a certain extent. They want to get warm. They want to get cool. They'll jump in water to get cool in the summer. They'll go in the dog house to get warm in the winter. And they want to eat. Now, what's the difference between that and a sinner? They have a house to go in when it's cold. They have the beach to go to when it's hot. And we have air conditioning. And we eat every day. Same as an animal. That's awful to say, but say all these people out in Hollywood, people that don't know God, and don't have a spirit born inside of them, they're just like animals. They just have fancy stuff to keep comfortable with. Houses and cars, where a dog just has a dog house. We have a little bit nicer house. Self-propagation. What does that mean? It's in an animal's instinct to propagate his race, his species. Dogs naturally get with other dogs, get married, and have puppies. Chickens get together with roosters and have chicks. It's naturally you reproduce. There's something in an animal that makes him reproduce. People are the same way. There's something inside human beings that makes you want to reproduce. All them women in Hollywood, no matter how rich, famous they get, there's going to come a time when they're in their mid-20s to 30s, they're going to want a baby. It's natural. It is natural. It's very unusual to find a girl who doesn't want a baby. I know all the young girls, I don't want to have no kid. It'll hit you. You wait and see. It'll hit you. All of them do, eventually, unless it's very, very unusual. It's self-propagation. And then thirdly, is self-preservation. Self-preservation means I'm going to keep myself alive. I'm going to save my hide. If somebody shoots you, you're going to crawl. You'll crawl to safety. You'll do anything to stay alive. Now, this has come up a lot since Linda's been having them treatments down there in Winston-Salem and everything. A lot of people told me, they said, well, if somebody told me I had cancer, I'd just say, leave me alone. Don't give me no treatment. And I heard that a lot. But I'm going to tell you something. That sounds good when it ain't you. But when it comes your time, you'll do anything to stay alive. You'll say, try anything, do anything. To stay alive. Now, if I knew for a fact that I was going to go, I'd just say, dope me up and let me go. But if there's that much smidgen of hope, you'll do whatever you need to do. Self-preservation, it's an instinct. Anybody want to say something? It's an instinct. You have three instincts, and dogs have the same ones. Self-gratification, self-propagation, self-preservation. Why are you any different than a beast? You're not. You're not. If you're not saved, you are no different. See, what can you do that an animal can't do? Name me one thing. You say, well, I can take care. Dogs take care of their kids. Chickens take care of their dibbies better than some human beings do. What can you do that an animal can't do? Well, they ride on boat, little float across. You know, they do the same thing. They ride on carts and stuff. And they can ride on the skateboards and stuff. Huh? Can't with a fork. They don't need a fork. No. They got them big things like that. Them big fangs, man. That's what I'm getting to. There's only one difference between you and an animal. But see, they got a lot of stuff you ain't got. That's not a difference. They got a lot of stuff you ain't got. They got fur to stay warm, scales, feathers. You naked unless somebody puts clothes on you. You're the only thing in the world born naked and stays naked if somebody don't clothe you. Everything else has a covering. Other than your soul being born again, here's one thing you can do that an animal can never do. They can't witness and win somebody to Jesus. And they can't have their sins forgiven. And they can't do something for the Lord. That's the only thing you can do that an animal can't do. Do something for the Lord. They can't do it. And some of them do little things. The donkey that rode Jesus into town, stuff like that. Anybody got an illustration? All right. You have no preeminence over a beast, man. Look at verse 20. All go into one place. All go into one place. Now, that don't mean heaven or hell. That means the grave, the dust. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Now, do you realize in the Bible it says in Genesis 2:19 that God made the animals out of the dust? Sometimes we have this idea that God said, let there be squirrels, and there was squirrels. Let there be dogs, and there was dogs. But the truth is, we say that man's the only thing God made out of the dust. It ain't. He made the animals out of the dust. Genesis 2:19 says it. He formed them all out of the dust. But Adam is the only one that God reached down and breathed, and Adam became a living soul. There's the difference between a human being and an animal. Your dog don't have a living soul. Your dog has a spirit. But when little Foo-Foo died, that was the end of little Foo-Foo. Over. Done. Over. No eternity. No heaven. No hell. Foo-Foo's gone. You want to show you that in the Bible? Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. When little Foo-Foo dies, you get you another Foo-Foo. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? That's when a man dies, his spirit goes back to God. And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. An animal dies, their spirit just goes back in the ground. When a human being dies, their spirit goes to God. Their soul goes to heaven or hell. Right? Turn over to chapter 12. Look at chapter 12 here just a second. Look at chapter 12, verse 7. When a man dies, here's what happened to him. His body goes to the ground, his spirit goes back to God, and his soul goes to heaven or hell. Look at verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So your spirit goes to God. What did Jesus say when he died on the cross? Where did his body go? In the tomb. Where did his soul go? To hell. Right? What it says. Where did his spirit go? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His spirit goes to God who gave it. Soul goes to hell. Body goes to the grave. If I was to die right now, my spirit goes to God. My soul goes to heaven. My body goes to the ground in a few days. Anybody got a question on that? No question. Man, y'all are quiet tonight. The spirit of the beast goes downward to the earth. Dogs have a spirit. Cows have a spirit. Horses have a spirit. When they die, their spirit goes in the ground. When you die, your spirit goes to God. Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. And who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? All right, we'll stop right there. Next week, we'll take up chapter 4. No, we won't. I've got to preach a revival off next week down on the other side of Winston-Salem.